we need to proceed because now we're getting into the interesting aspect of music. I was just trying to give you the basics because I have discovered that a lot of people don't understand what music is all about, and I think it is imperative for you to understand how it interacts with the body, and then you can understand the spiritual problems that it inculcates. Well, let's sing. If we sing a song, maybe I'll bring some others.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God.
You know, and we know that all things work together for good. Work together for good. Work together for good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You know what? To them that love the Lord. To them that love the Lord. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Romans 8:28. All right, let's continue in what we were talking about. So you understand now that music has a direct impact on the body. And by the way, subconsciously, you don't think about having your rhythms altered. It just happens. For example, when you listen to music that's upbeat or up-tempo, your foot begins to move, correct? The reason why your foot begins to move is because it's an automatic response. Your body now has accepted the external rhythm that you're subjected to, and you automatically do it. In order for you not to do it, you'd have to actually concentrate so that the music stops its effect on you. Okay? In other words, you're able to stop the effect of the music on you, but you have to focus and concentrate. So that if you go to a shopping center, what do they normally play for you? Music. Why do you think that most of the music that you go to malls and most of the music selected in the malls is rock and roll music? Why do you suppose? Because it has been determined that it confuses people. And it sets you up to make you a buyer. That's all there is. It's all money. What's that? What's that? Well, the reason why it sets you up to leave is because you have already have in you a conviction. Okay, but people who have no conviction are made subject and victims of the strategy to make buyers. Let me give you some information that will be helpful to you. Notice this statement. Music, emotion of any kind, emotions of any kind are produced by melody and what? And rhythms. Music has the power to form what? Character, the manner of its arrangement being so important that the various modes may be distinguished by their effects on character. By the way, you'll find this quote in my book that my wife and I have written called Notes on Music. This statement comes along supported by another statement. One, for example, working in the direction of melancholy, another of effeminacy, one encouraging abandonment, another self-control, another enthusiasm, so on through the series. This was by Aristotle in the book Politics, 1339, 400 years before Christ. In other words, Aristotle made the statement in the book called Politics, on his writings. Notice that he writes about music changing or affecting character, and notice that it says, in the different ways that it affects character. One toward what? Melancholy. Another one toward effeminacy. Another one, encouraging abandonment. Another one, self-control. Another, enthusiasm, and so on through the series. And so, how does that work? How many of you heard of what is called soap operas? You're quite acquainted with that? All right. Now, why do you suppose they call them soap operas? Well, it isn't because it washes people and makes them clean. The reason why they were called soap operas was because in those days, during the early 50s and 60s, of course, television came out in the 50s, right? There were soap companies that wanted to sell soap. And in order to sell soap, they determined that the people who are at home are not the dads. In those days, mothers were at home. And so they also knew that the ones that were at home were women. And they also know that women have a tendency to be more emotional. And so what they did was they put melodramas with the focus on melancholy so that the women would be hooked to have to watch the advertisements. And so the idea was, get them hooked to sorrowful stories with the music creating the emotions and the scenes, and then we'll advertise to them, and then they'll come and buy our soap. And that's why they were called soap operas. Okay? Now, things haven't changed from that time. Today, if you watch television, I don't know if you've ever noticed that when the advertisement comes on, it is usually louder than the actual program. Have you noticed that? Any of you have caught that? You know why? It's because they know that they need to grab your attention. And the way to grab your attention, number one, is to increase the volume. Number two, to dazzle your senses. And so it's bing, 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 bing. And they discover that if they flash enough, what do you call them, frames fast enough, that your mind has to stick with it in order to catch the message. And so it's all programmed to make you customers. The bottom line is, Madison Avenue is trying to figure out how to get your money. That's all there is to it. And so they figured out what kind of music attracts, what kind of music confuses, and what to use to keep you attached to the boob tube so that you can be a customer. Music is the primary thing that is being used for the purpose of creating the emotions and all that. For example, when it says melancholy here, music was used for various mood changes. And there's certain music that's always melancholy. For example, country and western music is usually melancholy music. It's always the dog is leaving, or the wife is leaving, or the husband's leaving, or somebody's leaving, or somebody breaking the heart, or somebody wounded, and somebody has to get drunk because their loved one left, and so forth. And so if you want to help those people, then spin the record backwards. The dog would come home, the wife would come home, and everything would be all right. Okay? And so the problem is that these types of music are created to generate certain emotions. To do what? Generate certain emotions. And musicians know that. When I was a musician, professionally speaking, we knew what kind of music we needed to play to get people to become fans of ours. And so you play certain beats, you play certain rhythms. If you wanted to hype them up and get them all excited, you play certain rhythms to do that. If you wanted them to get emotional and sensual and all that, then you play certain rhythms to do that. And the words simply just complemented whatever you were trying to do. So we knew what kind of things we needed to do to manipulate people. And that's all that you're doing. You're manipulating people's feelings and emotions. So if you want to get people to do drugs, well, you play certain things for them to finally catch on to drugs. For example, in the 60s, there was a lot of push on drugs. And I was doing the hippie times when kids wanted to be rebellious and anti-establishment and everything like that. Well, the purpose of the music was to help the young people escape reality. And the way to escape reality was that you couldn't do it bodily, so you had to do it mentally. And in order to do it mentally then, they created music that was called acid music. And this acid music was to encourage young people to take acid or LSD so that they could then escape in their minds and take a trip. Okay? So the music was created to enhance the drug. For example, Lucy in the Skies with Diamonds by the Beatles. The acronym L, Lucy, Sky, S, Diamonds, D. Okay? Lucy in the Skies with Diamonds. And the reason the music was created was when the person took LSD, was for the person to feel this trip, kind of like a roller coaster trip, and the person actually felt, physically speaking, going through this process, it is all mental. Okay? So that if you listen to the song Lucy in the Skies with Diamonds, you'll find that the music changes dramatically. And the reason it changes dramatically is to affect this particular emotional, mental trip that they were to take. The Peter, Paul, and Mary, Puff the Magic Drag On. It was Puff the Magic Dragon was drag, which was a slogan to give me a drag, take a puff. Puff the Magic Dragon. In other words, puff the marijuana is what it was. And they're encouraging kids to smoke marijuana. Bob Dylan, Hey Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me, I'm not sleeping, ain't no place I'm going to. It was lingo to tell young people, I'm not going anyplace, so turn me on. In other words, give me the drug. Okay? Mr. Tambourine Man was the drug seller. I'm not sleepy. There ain't no place I'm going to. So play a tune for me. In other words, turn me on. All of this was with the intent of getting people on high on something. If it was not, then there was music that was sensual for the purpose of creating a sensual drive. And so there was music for all occasions. For example, if you want people to feel patriotic, what kind of music do you play? Marching music. Okay? If you want people to feel romantic, what kind of music do you play? Romantic music. If you want people to be religious, then what kind of music do you play? Well, now no one knows what music to play. People are confused, all right? And that's why we're here today. But there are different music for different purposes. And they're all written to accomplish something. So it says that music can affect character and one direction of melancholy so that you feel, the wife feels, poor guy, you know. If I was married to him, I would make him happy. I wouldn't do what she does. And so, and this melodrama, so you understand what I'm saying? And so, the grass is greener on the other side, oh, I wish, you know, I would be... all of that came from melancholy. By the way, Mrs. White says, it is just as much a duty to shun melancholy as it is to pray. It is just as much a duty to what? Shun melancholy as it is to pray. Why should we shun melancholy? Because melancholy leads to depression. And depression can lead to suicide. So why should we shun it? Because it's dangerous for us. So why should we not shun then melancholy music? Yes or no? Yes. All right? We're being affected. We're being bombarded all the time by people who want our money. They're not interested in us. They're interested in our money. And what we need to do is become intelligent and recognize that this is what it's all about. All right? Then, of course, abandonment and self-control, enthusiasm, and so on through the series. Now, notice that Plato said the same thing. When modes, which means styles of music, change, the fundamental laws of the state always change with them. It's interesting that after the bombardment of all the musicians during the 60s, by the way, I'm sorry to say that we were part of it, the Vampires, we recorded some certain songs. One of it, I remember the phrase was, we were trying to show the hypocrisy of the people who were sitting in judgment, sending kids to jail because they smoked marijuana. And so marijuana is evil and it's wicked, you understand? But in those days, I didn't see it that way. So we put a phrase in one of the songs, The Burden of Our Times was his song entitled. And one of the phrases was, smoking's a crime, but drinking's just fine. Okay? And so the kid that listened to that began to get anger because there's a guy on the bench who's an alcoholic, but he's sending a kid who's smoking marijuana to prison. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So we created music that brought about sentiments, and the words simply just supported those emotions. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? So all of this is taking place, and it's interesting that from the bombardment of all the music in the 60s, it was a criminal offense to smoke marijuana in those days. But the music was used as a vehicle to effect a change in the laws of the land. And today, you get a parking ticket in some places if you smoke marijuana. And in some states, it's even now legal to smoke marijuana by law, as long as it's prescribed by a doctor. So things do change. I remember one of the pastors told me that crime was down in New York City. Things were getting better in New York. And I thought that was strange, because I grew up in New York City. I don't know if New York City can get better. They may have better entertainment, but I don't know that it can get better as far as morality is concerned and all that. Well, I've discovered why it got better. The laws became less. So whereas before it was criminal offense to do this, now it's a misdemeanor. Whereas before it was wrong to do this, now it's no longer wrong to do it. So of course, the crime rate goes what? Low. Why? Because the laws change. They become less offensive, or should I say, the people who see that the laws have changed are no longer considered law breakers. All right? Now, notice what Jimi Hendrix, the late Jimi Hendrix, said. You can do what? Hypnotize people with what? Music. And when they get at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious minds what you want to say. Okay, so the question is this. Did the musicians know what they were doing? Yes or no? See? There's no question that this is the reality. By the way, I should make the reference to that. That came from the Life magazine, October 3, 1969, page 4. The next statement comes from the Associated Press, Robert Barr and Hillel, Italy, November 30, 2001. The Beatles were four distinct personalities joined as a singular force in the rebellious 1960s, influencing everything from hairstyles to music. Whether dropping acid, exploring Eastern mysticism, proclaiming all you need is love, or sending up the squares in the film A Hard Day's Night, the Beatles inspired millions. Okay. Obviously then, even people who are not religious recognize that music has a tremendous impact on society. And by the way, if you check the arts in history, it'll give you a sense of what society was like at that time. As society, the arts. As the arts, society. Okay? And so, continuing, disorders caused by disharmonic music can range from intoxication of the dance to wild frenzies, even seizures, from suicide to violent aggression. This comes from Charles Hughes, Rhythm and Health, Music and Medicine, edition, New York, Henry Schumann, Incorporated, 1948. And Michael Siegel, of course, in the article, Rhythmatism, American Health, December 1988. Music is often perverted to serve purposes of evil, and it thus becomes one of the what? Most alluring agencies of temptation. Isn't that interesting? And so, rightly employed, it is a precious gift of God designed to uplift the thoughts to high and noble themes, to inspire and elevate the soul. In the book Child Guidance, page 523. So, proper music will help. Bad music will destroy. Okay? Now, how does it work? And that's the point. How does it have this effect? How is it that it can alter your rhythmical patterns? How is it that it can affect your thinking and change your character? And so, this is something that we should consider. It works through the ears. Through what? Ears. Let's consider how it works. Notice this statement. I feel alarm as I witness everywhere the frivolity of young men and women who profess to believe the truth. So this is speaking about Christians, yes or no? Okay, notice what it says. They have a what? A keen ear for what? Music. And who knows? And Satan knows what organs to excite to animate. Now notice what it says. Satan knows that we have a keen ear for music, and he knows what organs to excite, animate, and engross and charm the mind so that Christ is not desired. Young people, have you ever listened to rock music and then tried to kneel down and pray? Very difficult to do. Why? Because certain musics actually take away the taste for spiritual things. Okay? Now, how many of you have been walking down the road and all of a sudden the jukebox begins to play? Has that happened? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? Well, it's already recorded. It's what? It's recorded in the mind. And what happens then is that the enemy uses that against you, especially when you're trying to get close to God. You may come into church and all of a sudden some wild piece of music begins to play in your mind. Or you may try to pray and all of a sudden the jukebox begins to play. Completely contrary to what you want to do. Which means then that you have been manipulated all along by recording things into your mind that are there. All right? Now, it says that Satan knows then that there are certain music that will excite, animate, engross, and charm the mind by exciting certain organs. So through the ear then, right, keen ear for music, Satan knows what organs, bodily organs, to excite so that it affects the mind. Now, is it possible for the mind to be affected by what you hear and what you see? Is it possible for the body's organs to affect your mind? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Let me just illustrate. How many of you see the lemon that I have in my hand? Do you see the lemon that I have in my hand? You don't see the lemon that I have in my hand. All right. Now, I'm going to take a knife and I'm going to cut the lemon. All right. So I'm cutting the lemon. Can you see me cutting the lemon? Now, can you see the juice coming out? All right. Can you? Now, I'm going to take the lemon and I'm going to suck it. All right. How many of you are already salivating? Can I see your hands? Any of you already feeling your saliva coming out? Let me see your hands. How many? You are. Okay. Why? Did you eat the lemon?
No.
Did you taste the lemon?
No.
Did you see the lemon? No. Then what happened? The Bible says, as you behold, you become changed. As what? As you behold, you become changed. One more time. As you behold, you become changed. All right? And please remember this. You didn't see the lemon. You didn't taste the lemon, but it changed you. And it happened without you deciding to be changed. All right? And if I had had a real lemon, I can guarantee there'll be more puckering faces than I had. All right? Now, so the enemy knows that there are certain organs in your body that can be altered by music and therefore affecting the mind. Did you know that bass, amplified bass notes can actually cause extra secretion of sexual hormones? Scientists have already discovered that certain bass notes, amplified bass notes, will secrete extra sexual hormones in the body. All right? Now, how does it work? Sound waves, vibrations acting upon the eardrum, are transformed to chemical and nerve impulses which register in our minds the different qualities of the sounds we are hearing. Roots of the auditory nerves, the nerves of the ear, are more widely distributed and have more extensive connections than those of any other nerves in the body. There is what? Scarcely a function of the body which may not be affected by the pulsations and harmonic combinations of musical tones. This comes from Edward Podolsky, Music for Your Health, the book, the publisher of New York, Bernard Ackerman, 1945, page 26 and 27. Now, notice it says that there's scarcely a function of the body which may not be affected by the pulsations, harmonic combinations, and musical tones. In other words, you are rhythmical, music is rhythmical, and when you are subjected to rhythms, then your body gets affected. Plain and simple. Okay? Especially if the rhythms are not in harmony with your own body rhythms. Do you know why our music, basically in the hymn book, is primarily written without syncopation? It was written so that you would not be manipulated, so that you would have to sing that which enhances the body rhythms and enhances the mind rather than manipulate you. When I first became a Christian, an Adventist Christian, I remember going to church and thinking to myself, these poor people, they have no rhythm with them, you understand? You know, this music is dead. Why did I feel that way? Because I was completely entrenched and doused and completely saturated with rhythm. That's all I played as a bass player. My job was to create rhythm. That's what my job was. And the drum player. That was my primary purpose. And so when I came to church and there was no beat at all, I thought, boy, you know, these people are ready for a funeral. Okay? The problem was not the music. The problem was me. We can learn to like what we want to learn to like. Is that true? Amen. People develop tastes for all sorts of things. Did you hear what I'm saying? For example, we can learn to like food, all sorts of horrible food. I've been to places in the world where people have quite bizarre tastes. And I mean bizarre tastes. You want to know what? I'll give you one example sufficient to just turn your tummy, but carefully so that you wouldn't have to run out of here, okay? While in Palau as a missionary, I heard a dog yelping. So I went outside to help the poor dog, and it turned out that there were some people there that had the dog, and they were taking it away. It was a stray dog. And so I asked, you know, what they were doing with the dog. Well, they were going to eat. And so I discovered what they did. These particular people eat dogs, but they like something even more appetizing than the dog. They will make the dog go hungry for several days without food, hungry, and then they will take half-cooked rice and feed it to the dog. And the dog just gorges itself with all this rice. Then while the dog's stomach is full of rice, they'll kill the dog. Then they'll take the dog and roast it. And then after the dog is roasted, then they'll open the stomach of the dog and eat the rice. Now, doesn't that sound delectable? Okay. Now, that's one of the lesser things. There are other things that are even worse than that, and I don't want to spend the time talking about those things. But suffice to tell you that people can learn to like what? Anything. God has made us with the ability to adapt. To what? To adapt. And I'm thankful for that. What do you say? Because you can adapt to that which is good just as well as you can adapt to that which is evil. So I'm thankful that we're not locked just into evil. What do you say? That through God's grace, we can adapt to those things which are good. So the same ability that God has created in us for good, the devil uses for evil. All right? Now, how does it work? Since it works through the ears and it affects the system, the autonomic nervous system, this is a picture of it. And if you notice here, all the things that are affected, all the organs that are affected through the nervous system, of course, this is the brain, spinal cord, and from there, you can see all the organs that are affected by the brain. Can you see that? Now, what happens is that when a person is subjected to music, the way it works is that the individual has what is called a balance system. And that balance system is called the excitatory and excitatory. In other words, every person has a balance system to keep them balanced so that you know how to act and how to behave, how to speak in certain places. For example, you know, in the church, you don't come to roller skate. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, you understand that when you come to church, you come to church to pray. You come to church to worship. You come to church to do religious activities. If you want to roller skate, where do you go? Well, you go outside to a roller skating ring, etc. You understand what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Okay. In the funeral, you know that this is not the place to crack jokes and so forth, right? Funeral, this is where you go respectfully and pay your honors to the deceased. So we learn then that there are certain things that are acceptable and certain things that are not acceptable. And that's because we have a balance system that helps us to stay balanced, okay? It's when the person gets off balance that we call them neurotic. Have you heard of that? Neurosis? All right? When a person is not balanced, they are neurotic, all right? Now, what happens is that when a person is subject, let me see if I could find the actual picture. I think, let's see if it's the next one. Okay. In the balance system, we have those two that keep us balanced. However, what happens is, I'm going too fast here. What happens is that when a person is subjected to music that is not in harmony with bodily rhythms, most of music, especially of today, is syncopated and has more than one beat that is coming at you. And since the body always tries to accept an external rhythm automatically, it's all right when there's only one particular rhythm coming at you, like marching rhythm, okay? But when you have a combination of rhythms being thrown at you at the same time, like rock music, for example, typical rock music, the drummer, if he is, quote, a good drummer or a proficient drummer, he normally should have the ability to play four beats at the same time, separately. So with one hand he's playing one, with the other hand he's playing another, and with his feet he may be playing two. Okay. Now, along with that comes the bass player who's emphasizing one particular, the foot drum or the snare, etc., given different emphasis. Besides that, you have then the rhythm guitar, and most rhythm guitar players play in rock and roll music, play what we call rock chords or jazz chords, which in themselves create certain rhythms. I don't have an amplified guitar here, but basically, I don't know if you could. If I had this amplified, you would actually feel the pulsation that I'm talking about, okay? The chords themselves create rhythms within themselves because the notes that are played actually clash with one another. So you have the lead player playing whatever. You have the rhythm guitar player, you have the bass player, and you have the drum player. So you have a bombardment of a combination of rhythms coming at you. Okay? Since the body automatically seeks to adapt to one rhythm, then the question is, which one? And that's where the body is thrown into what is called an artificial neurosis. Because the body is trying to adapt to one. Now, what happens is, if you happen to be an individual who is listening to music, then the music acts like a vehicle that penetrates into the mind, whatever message may be combined with the music. Okay, do you understand that? Now, if you happen to be an individual whose tendency is toward inhibition, then your tendency is, since that's your strength, it's really a weakness, but since that's your strength, you're more tended to be inhibited, then you can be shifted that direction and become kind of lethargic, etc. All right? Inhibited. If you're a person who tends to be on the other side, excited and all that, then the music can throw you off into that direction and you can't sit still. You got to be moving. You got to be jumping. You got to be doing something. When I was performing, I remember many times the people would come into the club and at the beginning of the night, everybody seemed to be about the same speed, if you understand what I'm saying. As the night progressed, we saw a separation of people. The people who couldn't sit down, they had to be jumping up and down, and the people who just couldn't stand up, they had to be sitting down and just sipping away, chatting, and so forth. And there was a separation that took place at the nightclubs. I didn't know why. I knew it happened, but I had no idea why until I began to study this with my wife and discovered that what is happening is that the person is being thrown off one way or thrown off the other way. And it is in this state, the artificial neurosis, that the mind is open to receive whatever message is being suggested. So if it's sex, it's sex. If it's drugs, it's drugs. If it's religion, it's religion. Okay? But you're being manipulated in that direction. It is not something that you're doing by choice. It is something that's being done for you. Which is interesting because when you think of religion, God does not force. God simply appeals. But who forces? Who deceives?
Satan.
Who manipulates?
Satan.
And so, to be manipulated into religion, is it godly or satanic?
Satanic.
Okay? Never forget that 9/11 did not take place as a result of atheists trying to attack America. 9/11 took place as a result of religious people. Now, you may not consider them religious, but they consider themselves very religious. Is that true? Okay. And so, remember this, folks, that the mind can be manipulated. And what happens is the state of artificial neurosis. So, for example, if there are young people being subjected to this music and they're prone to be either one direction or another direction, let's suppose the individual, the young person, has problems with self-worth. Let's suppose that the young person has a tendency toward depression, etc. And he's subjecting himself to music that throws him off balance. And then the music word suggests suicide, etc. What do you think that young person can do? Yeah, commit suicide. That's correct. And so, you can see the danger then of the role that music plays. Even the government, the United States military, understands how powerful music is. In Panama, when the Americans went over there to depose the dictator, Noriega, they went in there, Noriega fled, and he went and hid in the Catholic Church. And by international law, every Catholic church is really an embassy for the Catholic empire. Did you know that? So Americans could not go into the Catholic Church because they would be breaking international law. And so, how to get Noriega out of the Catholic Church? You know what they did? They surrounded the church with rock and roll loudspeakers. And they bombarded the church with loud rock and roll music day and night. I mean, they just bombarded it until they surrendered Noriega. Okay? Now, think of it. Military understands the power of rock and roll music. And they used it successfully. And got their man. All right, now, let's continue. Because music bypasses the highest centers of reason and judgment, these effects are what? Universal to mankind. This is Max Schoen, Psychology of Music, 1940, New York, Roland, page 89. So, how is it that it works? Rhythm, when put to the test, has been discovered to be the main culprit in the problem. The composition of the music and rhythm specifically. There was a group of scientists, in fact, two scientists in Princeton University that were interested in music and how music was having its effect on the body. They were simply trying to discover how music affected the body. And if so, what effects it had. But they were not musicologists, and they went to Harvard University and got the help of musicologists from Harvard University to give them an idea of what music would be considered to be harmonic to body rhythms. In other words, compatible to body rhythms. And what music was disharmonic to body rhythms, or not compatible to body rhythms. You understand? So the term harmonic and disharmonic had nothing to do with harmony, but rather where it was harmonious to body rhythms or disharmonic to body rhythms. So, they put together a test, and the test, they began with 36 mice. And the reason they used animals, of course, is this is the way they determine what happens to humans, by using animals. They took 12 and put them in what is called harmonic group. They took 12 and put them in the disharmonic group, and they took 12 in the control group. In other words, this one, they played music that they assume was compatible to body rhythms. These 12, they put in music that was assumed to be not compatible to body rhythms. And then this one, no music at all, just regular house sound. All right? Same case, same food, same water, same environment. The only difference was the sound. Okay? You got that? What was the only difference? The sound. Now, they took these mice then, and they took them from birth because they wanted to find out if age had anything to do with it. You have young people who always complain and say, "Ah, Mom, you're just an old fogey, and you know, you don't appreciate my music." Okay? So they took young people, young mice from birth, and developed them as they listened to the sound, the divergent sounds. Now, after a certain process, they would sacrifice certain mice and put their brain cells aside so they could examine them. And so they kept on doing that until finally all the mice were sacrificed. In the process, however, they would test them. They would put them in a maze. You know what a maze is? Okay? You know, these little things that you... So they put them in a maze, and they would time them to see how fast they would find the food through the maze. And then they would put them back in the cage and then take them back out again after a time to see how fast they would find the food again. And that way they were checking retention, memory. Did they memorize the track so they could find the food fast enough? And also they monitored their behaviors to see how they behaved with themselves as well as in their testing. And so here's what they discovered. Let me see if I could play this for you. See if this microphone is on. Let me put on the sound. Okay, let me play it again. This was considered to be the harmonic music. Okay, this is the 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay? That's called the normal 4-4 rhythm. That's the kind of rhythm that the mice with harmonic rhythms would suggest is subjected to. Okay? Then they, to the disharmonic group, this is the one that they played for it, or for them. Okay, now, I've noticed that as it was playing, your body rhythms altered. And I know that some of you began to do what? Is that true, yes or no? Even the pastor's wife got going on with it. She had good circulation. All right. I told you that it's a natural what? It's a natural response, okay? Now, one was harmonic. In other words, it goes along with body rhythms. And the other one altered your body rhythms, okay? I mean, you normally, your heart and your body doesn't normally go this way, right? Is that true? Now, when you start doing that, what's happening? You're being affected by some external rhythm, correct? All right, so here's what was the result. The emphasis of this one was in the second and fourth beat, which is typical of rock and roll music, syncopated music. So rather than 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, it starts on the 2, 4, 2, 4, 2, 4. It's the same kind of sensation as, have you ever stepped down, going down the step, and thought that you were at the last step, only to discover you were not? Okay, that's the same sensation that it brings to the body. Okay? All right, now, what were the results of the effect of these on these mice? The C and H group were very similar. No significant differences appeared. I see I'm going to have to do some typographical, some change on the spelling there. No significant effect. But notice the difference with the other group, the disharmonic group. The group showed the following changes: excess branching of the neuronal dendrites, significant increases in mRNA, which is a messenger ribonucleic acid. Then there was significant decreases in learning retention or memory. In the same group, there was those who were hyperactive. Aggression, when I talked to the scientists, they said that some of them reverted to resorted to cannibalism. And some in the same group were lethargic and inattentive, which is interesting. In the same group, you got two complete opposite responses. Those that are very active, hyperactive, and even eat one another, and those who are completely lethargic and inattentive. Okay? Now, I want you to notice the brain cells. This is the brain cell of the H group, harmonic group. Notice that the dendrite has a clear pathway. You see that? Okay? Notice the control group, again, you see that? But notice the disharmonic group. There's no clear pathways in the brain cell. And psychologists say that this typical brain cell is what's found in people who are clinical neurotic. So what music is really doing is it is having its effect on the brain, creating either an artificial neurosis or a neurotic state. Okay? So, if people are subjected to music of that sort, then you can understand why you can have such aggression in certain groups. I think you've heard of people dying at rock concerts by being trampled to death. And there was a fella who was a Jehovah's Witness who became a Seventh-day Adventist recently, and he's doing Bible work down in Florida and doing an excellent job, he and his wife. They were both Jehovah's Witnesses and had started two Jehovah's Witness churches. And fortunately, one of our graduates studied with them, and as a result, they became Seventh-day Adventists, left the Jehovah's Witness church. But he also had a disco, and the wife was an aerobic dancer. And so when they came to our school, we trained them in how to be effective in evangelism. And one of the things that he told me was that when he played certain music, that it always created a spirit of tension, and there were always fights. And so he knew that in order to calm the spirits, he had to change the music. And when he became a Seventh-day Adventist, he decided to get rid of the disco because he knew what he was doing to people just for the sake of making money. And so we know that you can create effects in the mind that are not wholesome and not good.
This is what happens physiologically speaking. This is what happens in the body. So if you have young people who are subjecting themselves to this type of music, no wonder that they lose their relish, which means that their taste and desires for spiritual things. Many young people who subject themselves constantly to rock music, for example, rap music and these kind of music, they lose their relish for studying. They become rebellious. They become independent. They become people who want to do their own thing. And in New York City, it was a group that was going around of educators from school to school, teaching kids that if they wanted to enhance their learning ability, that they ought not to listen to rock and roll music, but simple classical music. Because it was determined that simple classical music enhances the mind, as opposed to rock and roll music, that it orientates the mind. So, young people, if you want to do better in your school grades, don't listen to rock music. Okay? Now, these are the three groups in comparison. You can see the clear channels, can you? And so you can see that there's a difference. Now, music then becomes a renewed issue in today's religious climate. And I'm going to give you 10 minutes again for a break and come back in 10 minutes. I'm going to start exactly in 10 minutes. I don't want to keep you here too long. But go and take a drink of water, stretch, and also I'm going to give you a time to ask questions.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.